Situated in the heart of the historic 18th and Vine Jazz District in downtown Kansas City, the American Jazz Museum shines a light on the epicenter of the roots of American jazz. In addition to more than 200 live performances annually, the museum offers special exhibitions, educational programs, fine art shows, and historical exhibits. I'm correspondent Tom Wilmer. Come along and join the Jazz Museum's curator, Sonny Ruffin, Executive Director Chepto Custine Buckner, Drew Brown from nearby St. Joseph, Missouri, and the renowned fine art master painter Dr. Jonathan Knight for a journey of discovery at the American Jazz Museum.
My name is Sonny Ruffin. I'm the curator for the American Jazz Museum at the historical 18th and Vine area in the Changing Gallery as we're viewing Jazz Speaks for Life. You know, the arts are changing rapidly.
What do you think the biggest change is in what area?
Culturally, the acceptance of African-American art and the works of those that have gone on and those that are still here, and understanding the contribution, giving testimony to community, documentation.
The way you present things changing.
Yeah, and I think that it is. And I think that it's more acceptable now to celebrate these amazing contributions like Henry Oswald Tanner, Charles White, Paul Goodnight, Dean Mitchell, Jonathan Knight. I can go on and on and on. Samela Lewis, Micheline Thomas, and then the young artists that are coming around who really don't care, you know, who can take a coat and throw it on a chair and it's art. Stanford Biggers, Carol Walker. The young artists of today make no apologies for their creative process. And they just don't mind. Kehinde Wiley, these massive, enormous, marvelous images on a floral background. Just captivating.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay to do that. And I think art now is the way to go for conversations, for dialogue. You know, keep creating. Keep working at your craft, because what you're doing is creating an opportunity for these conversations that we've been very uncomfortable discussing, opening up those doors.
Drew Brown, a member of the St. Joseph, Missouri Museum's Black Archives, was at the American Jazz Museum in the company of fine art painter Jonathan Knight.
I'm here in a number of capacities. We have a St. Joseph Museum, and a sub-museum of that is the Black Archives. I'm on the board of directors of the Black Archives. We try to document the history of African Americans in the St. Joseph region. Of course, it extends down to here. I'm also on the board of the Albrecht Kemper Museum of Art up in St. Joseph, and I'm on the board of directors, and I'm a docent there. I'm also on the board of directors of the Coleman Hawkins Jazz Society. And Coleman Hawkins is our favorite jazz musician because he hails from St. Joseph. So I have great interest in the art here, especially the work by Jonathan Knight, a portrait of Coleman Hawkins. Our hope would be that since Coleman Hawkins is from St. Joseph, that portrait would find its way to St. Joseph for permanent placement.
Well, thank you so much for sharing.
Sure thing. My pleasure. My name is Drew Brown.
Jonathan Knight.
Artist and painter.
And you live here? You're born and raised?
I live in the greater Kansas City area. I live in Shawnee, but I exhibit across the United States and some internationally.
Were you like me, drawing and doodling in the fifth grade? And
I've been painting since I was 3 years old. Yeah. And my dad had to tell me that because I didn't really know. I knew that I started early.
Wow.
But in one of the shows, he said, you know, you started when you were 3 years old.
So, wow. I said, so definitely what you were meant to do.
Pretty much, yeah. But I wasn't aware that when I was in school, I just knew that I loved it and had a passion for it.
So at what point did you decide, you know, this is who I want to be, what I want to do?
Well, I took private painting lessons while I was in high school and middle school. And I think when I graduated from high school, the accolades and the scholarships and the awards that I received, and I got a full ride to a couple of different colleges, and I decided that that's probably it. So I'll just go ahead and follow the road that's paid for me, and that's basically what I've been doing ever since.
And since we can't see your works of art now, you're going to be challenged. Describe what you do. And
well,
how
the three of the works are in this exhibit.
I can't do it through my radio.
So I need to describe the work? Well, okay, the main painting that's in this exhibit is of Coleman Hawkins. It's a 16 by 20 oil painting, all on board. It's a beautiful visual rendition of Coleman Hawkins. And a lot of the information I read up on the saxophonist myself, but then, you know, Mr. Brown, Drew, is the one pretty much who informed me about the festival that they have annually in St. Joseph.
Jonathan Knight's masterful paintings are presently on display at the American Jazz Museum.
Well, the exhibit's going to be up until the 30th of September. And the reason I'm here now is because I'm meeting with the curator and one of the big benefactors to acquire the painting, purchase the painting, to have it permanently located in the St. Joseph, Missouri area.
Nice.
And since Drew is on the board with the Coleman Hawkins Jazz Society, the painting was done specifically for a poster for the festival. And I was there about 2 weeks ago signing about 20,000 posters, you know, for the event.
Most important is, how does somebody find out more about you? Do you have
a website?
Well,
they can go to my website. It's www.jmknight.com, jmknight.com. And that's my website. And like I say, I'm national and international, and I'm in collections all over the country, and international and abroad.
I love it. Thank you so much. I'm so glad to have met you.
Well, it was nice to have met you as well. Thank you for welcome to Kansas City, and I hope, you know, I look forward to seeing you again.
Kansas City, here we come. Kansas City, here we come.
To our left is the Jazz Museum. Mm-hmm. Here you have this wonderful creative art metaphor for the other half of the facility.
We do. You know, Kansas City is the second home of jazz. New Orleans, of course, it began in Congo Square, and it traveled to Kansas City. And I think what, you know, our contribution has been is it has been an incubator, allowing jazz musicians of all cultures, races, ethnicities to come here and explore and innovate and be as improvisational as they possibly could.
Probably time to talk Blue Room for a moment.
Absolutely, sure. Oh my gosh. Well, the Blue Room was actually in the old Streets Hotel. And the Streets Hotel had the subway, which was underground, and they had the Blue Room, which was extremely elegant. It was nothing to see Ella Fitzgerald in that room. It was nothing to see Count Basie, Big Joe Turner, who had been the bartender in the Blue Room, who would just belt out a song, you know? And so our Blue Room is representative of that time.
And this is a time, the birthing and nurturing of
absolutely
the Kansas City sound and modern
absolutely
jazz.
Absolutely, yes.
That's incredible.
Charlie Parker, Jay McShann, Benny Moten, Julia Lee, Mary Lou Williams, Melba Liston, female trombone player. And what we do now is it gives us, the Blue Room gives us an opportunity to not only celebrate the memory of those musicians, but to introduce new musicians.
Yes. Yes.
You know, Bobby Watson, Herman Meharry.
Some kid you've never heard of.
Absolutely. Right? We just had Delfeo Marsalis, who was here. Marvelous. He's the brother of Wynton Marsalis. Roy Ayers was here. So, you know, from the young to the old, packed house. Two shows. And then you have, of course, your local musicians who perform in a place of historical renownedness, if you will. The James Ward Group, like I said, Gerald Dunn, Everett Freeman, jazz pianist, who also performs with Roy Ayers. Lonnie McFadden, one of the McFadden tap dancing brothers, who's also a prolific trumpet player and singer.
How often do the live performances happen here?
Oh my gosh, every Monday night is open mic night, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we have open performances. Absolutely, yeah.
That's so cool. So anybody into the American jazz idiom, this is a mandatory stop to come to
it
Kansas City.
It definitely is. It really is. And it gives you an opportunity to celebrate not only the history of the genre, but to really get in and research the history of the genre. These exhibitions and what we have in our permanent collection, the saxophonist Charlie Parker, the plastic sax that he played while he was in Canada.
You have the plastic sax here?
We own the plastic sax. Yeah. It is in our permanent collection.
And yes. I heard the story was he like hawked his sax.
He
was going to play, and somebody had to run out and buy a sax.
All they had was the plastic sax, and the gentleman that invented it, actually, the true story is he had hawked his sax, and he needed something to play. you know, on stage, and that was it, and he made it sing.
I heard that people were scared to death that it was going to suck.
It was going to blow up.
Yeah.
Because his heart, the way he played was so powerful and so forceful that, you know, we're talking plastic.
Right.
Okay? And it ain't changed that much lately. So we're talking plastic. And when he blew into it, the force alone, anything could have occurred. But being Charlie Parker, being Bird, and having that...
He made plastic
just sing.
I love it.
He really did. It's a part of our collection.
And it's here, right?
It is. And then we have Ella Fitzgerald's gold sequin dress. And, you know, she was not flamboyant. Her voice was. So the way that she dressed herself and what have you was pretty conservative. But this dress, the dress is to die for. It's gorgeous. It really is. And that's a part of our permanent collection as well as many recordings of Duke Ellington. We have a facsimile of Louis Armstrong's horn. We celebrate these artists in the way that I think most museums do not. We are one of a kind, but we are world-renowned. This is the only museum in the United States of the sort celebrating the genre itself.
Somebody told me something about you have the archive of the old Soundies. Tell
us
about that for a moment.
The John Baker collection, film collection, the city found to purchase, and it's amazing. It has a majority of the African-American Soundies that were introduced from the 30s on, and we have Lester Young on film performing, Duke Ellington, Black and Brown, on film performing. We have Ella, who was one of the first African Americans to have a television show, in performance with, believe it or not, Duke Ellington on piano, Louis Belson on drums.
And the Soundies, where would people see them? How would they do
that? We have a room dedicated to...
back in the day.
Back in the day, they would see them in the movie theaters.
Okay, like little shorts.
They were shorts. And John Baker, who was an attorney out of Cleveland, Ohio, became enthralled with those types of images, the audiovisual images of African-American performers. And so he started collecting. When a lot of the studios found out, you know, and as they're emptying out their archives and what have you, they sent the film clips to him, and we were very fortunate to now be the owner of that collection and the facilitators of that collection as well.
That's so cool. And then somebody said that the phrase jam session was coined right here in the neighborhood.
It was. Now, to say who did that, I can't tell you, because there were so many performers that were jamming, and you could come here, as we do on Monday nights, and hit the stage and you're jamming. That's what it's called. Jamming.
Somebody said in the day it was because so many people literally jammed into the club.
They do.
That you were like jam-packed.
When we have, it just depends upon who's performing in the Blue Room. You cannot get into the Blue Room.
Same happening today.
Absolutely. And it just depends upon who the performer is. You know, the Gym Theater we have across the street, which is, of course, a legitimate theater that was a movie theater at one time. And so that's a seating of about 500. The Blue Room on a good night is packed, and that's only 120 people. So imagine if the fire marshal walked in and closed us down.
Yeah.
That's a jam session. And then you have the Mutual Musicians Foundation, which is around the corner on Highland, that Friday nights, that's straight jam. You don't know who's going to be in the room. You know, we came in one night and Prince was sitting at the bar jamming. You just don't know. We had the gentleman that played Bernie in The Police Story. He came to jam one night. You just don't know who you're going to see. You don't know what's going to happen. And that's the wonderful part of jazz. It's improvisational.
You know what? I'm coming back.
You have to.
I will. I promise
you. We can have a martini.
Yeah, or two.
Or two.
Yeah.
Or three.
Uh-huh. All right.
My name is Sunny Ruffin. I'm the curator for the American Jazz Museum at the historical 18th and Vine area in the Changing Gallery as we're viewing Jazz Speaks for Life. I've enjoyed myself. Thank you. Come back to Kansas City. Visit with us, and I'll buy you that martini.
All right. Thanks, Sunny.
There you go. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Kansas City, Missouri.
Chaptaw Kosetan Buckner, I'm the executive director of the American Jazz Museum.
What a good job. Aren't you lucky?
Lucky or honored, I guess, yeah, to have the job more than anything else.
Fortunate
and blessed, yes.
So how did that happen? You must have a passion for music.
I have a passion for music, African-American history, but also Kansas City heritage. And so those are very, very important to me. And so that's how it happened. I've been in Kansas City for over 25 years. I was the deputy director for the Kansas City Public Library before joining the museum about 4 months ago.
And did you grow up in Kansas City?
No, I grew up in Kenya, in East Africa.
Oh, wow.
And came here to go to school and ended up making Kansas City my permanent home.
How cool. Well, tell us about what you are most proud of here with the music and what you showcase.
I think what I am most proud of is that we are the only institution in the world that is a physical structure that is here to preserve jazz. To preserve jazz for future generation, but we're also a living museum because we still continue to perform jazz, and also the pride of being able to express jazz in various ways, including the visual arts as well.
And you alluded to the live performances. That's in your Blue Room?
Yeah, that's in the Blue Room, in the Gem Theater, in the atrium. We have student performance that come here and actually have competitions. So it's everywhere. It's even live music and dancing in the atrium. So it's all kind of performances.
And in a real, literal sense, right here, right in this neighborhood, this was kind of the birth of a lot of the idioms of American jazz, correct?
Yes, it was. And actually, in a lot of ways, I think we consider ourselves the home of jazz. If you think about it, this is where jazz actually began to transform from the big band. And so there is that part. And then we also have a unique Kansas City jazz style that is important. And then a lot of the greats like Charlie Parker and Count Basie left Kansas City and took their influence of Kansas City to the rest of the world.
So there really is a Kansas City sound.
There is a Kansas City sound. Yes, definitely there is. We have our Mutual Musician Foundation, an organization that's 100 years old now that still continue to have jam sessions from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. in the morning as well.
Wow. And this is right here?
It's right here on 18th and Vine.
Oh, cool. When did the roots really gel, the heyday of the big band and out of that then?
And the golden age of jazz is really when this happened happened in the 20s and 30s. You know, it was jazz, it was African-American culture, it was commerce, but it was also that this particular area was connected to the larger part of what activities that were going on in Kansas City. Prohibition was a big issue, and so that is actually where Kansas City is considered one of the most wide open city, because through prohibitions and Tom Pendergast, some of those activities in terms of open city was happening here at 18th and Vine.
And in the 18th and Vine neighborhood, how many clubs were rocking during the heyday?
Oh, they talk about hundreds, you know, of clubs that were here on the Vine in the heyday. So it was just pretty amazing.
What's closest to your heart? If I came here, what would you want to make sure that I saw?
I would want for you to see the exhibit, but I would really like for you to see the droves of kids that we have here almost every day.
These are school-age kids.
School-age kids, elementary kids coming here for jazz storytelling or going through our exhibit space and really just having a great time. That's what I would like for you to see.
Really an eye-opening educational experience for the kids.
It is. It definitely is. And also connecting them to their heritage, which is jazz, because jazz is a Kansas City heritage. I just want to let people know that one of the most important thing about jazz is it was, to me, the civil rights movement before the civil rights movement, because even in its creation, it was a place where different kind of people got together and musicians and played together, and that continues to happen today in our Blue Room, which I consider the most integrated space in Kansas City.
I love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. My name is Cheptoo Kositany Bakna. I am the executive director of the American Jazz Museum.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Kansas City. You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomascwilmer.com. Our associate producers include Melissa Corbin reporting from Knoxville, Tennessee, Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Kim Schneider from Michigan, Elaine Masters in San Diego, Julie Henning, Eugene, Oregon, Rebecca Bingham, Hot Springs, Arkansas, and Steve Cook contributing from Little Rock, Arkansas, host of Arkansongs on NPR affiliate KUAR.